I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Holy hour of power. This is the Lord's gym. His pain is your gain. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm reporting for duty. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, sir. And Jesse, I'm excited. We have a special guest that I've known for almost 40 years when he came into the Catholic Church, Stephen Mosner. We're going to be talking about everything you need to know about the coronavirus from an expert in China's policies. And boy, is he an expert on that. But Jesse, I want to ask you if you could read again the gospel. This is the good news. People, let's keep our eyes and ears on the Word of God and listening to the Word of God, because right now things are really crazy. And I just know one thing that's going to help you get to heaven, and that is teaching you about Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. So the gospel,
Terry,
today.
I'm going to opt today to read the first reading, because I want to give a little small teaching on idolatry.
Oh, yeah, it's in there. Go ahead, brother.
Idolatry and bad music. There's two things that today's first reading touches on.
Yep.
Daniel chapter 3. Let me just take, this is so powerful. Wow. Talk about faith in the midst of persecution. We need to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up? Be ready now to fall down and worship the statue I had made. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, psaltery, bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments, otherwise you shall be instantly cast into the white-hot furnace. And who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands?" So this wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar, the Israelites are prisoners. I think he was the Assyrian king or the Babylonian king. I'll have to check my... But they have the Israelites captive right now. And he's forcing them to worship false gods.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells these three holy young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Okay, I'm going to play music. And as soon as you hear the music, I want you to start prostrating and worshiping my God." Okay? Notice the way there's a connection between music and bad music and idolatry. It reminds me, Terry, the same thing happened in Exodus chapter 32.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17 to 19, where the Israelites, they made a golden calf while Moses was in the mountain communing with God, and they burned all their gold and made a golden calf, and they started dancing around the golden calf. And the word dancing, it's the Hebrew word for sexual orgy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were singing and dancing. So bad music can disorder your passions. That's what we see here.
Nothing's changed. Go ahead.
And the same thing. So today, if you listen to bad music,
same
that's
thing.
Like Catholicism. The Catholic Church is big on what's called custody of the senses.
Amen.
Specifically, custody of the eyes, but the demon enters through all the senses, touch, smell, hearing. So we have to take custody of the senses. And what prayer does, it makes you take custody of the intellect, because oftentimes what demons do, they constantly project they communicate to you in an unending loop in your mind, just over and over and over. They're just talking to you in a loop. And the way you snap back into reality is you have to go into prayer, because prayer takes custody of your senses. Goes on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "There's no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If our God whom we serve can save us from the white hot furnace and from your hands, O king, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up." King Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated seven times more than usual and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the white-hot furnace. So he wanted to burn them to death because they didn't want to worship a false god. How many of us as Catholics would be willing to be burned to death in a hot furnace if some communist or Muslim says, "You better worship my God or we're going to kill you"?
Yep.
How many of us would be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, "It ain't happening"? Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles Did we not cast three men bound into the fire? Assuredly, O king, they answered. But he replied, I see four men unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the fourth looks like a son of God. So notice, this is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, pre-incarnate, who comes down into the fiery furnace, and he delivers them. He protects them. It says, Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel. That's a reference to Christ. Angel here means his messenger. Jesus is God the Father's messenger, to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a good example to us, Terry.
For today.
As Catholics. I mean, you talk about what's the idolatry of the New Testament today? St. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, sexual immorality and the love of money. That's New Testament idolatry. Has that become the most important thing in your life? You need to repent and you need to get right with God. Terry?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, we have our expert on China, Stephen Mosner, wonderful man who's doing great work for the church coming up. But I want to bring in the smartest guy in the room. That's Fulton Sheen. Archbishop Sheen, full Sheen ahead. Jesse, I kind of mentioned this topic yesterday about what Fulton Sheen said back in 1948. It was written in Bishop Athanasius's book, and Bishop Athanasius quoted it on page 313. He says, here I cannot quote the following. I have to quote the following words of Fulton Sheen. He wrote in 1948, which are strikingly relevant and significant for our current situation. Today, this is what Bishop Sheen said. Satan will set up a counter church, will be the ape of the church. The app of the church. I will have all the notes and characteristics of the church, but in reverse and emptied of its divine content. The false prophet will have a religion without a cross, a religion without a world to come, a religion to destroy religions. There will be a counterfeit church. Christ's church will be one, and the false prophet will create another. The false church will be worldly, ecumenical, and global. What? He says, it will be a loose federation of churches and religions forming some type of global association, a world parliament of churches. What? He says, it will be emptied of all divine content. It will be the mystical body of the Antichrist. The mystical body on earth today will have its Judas Iscariot, and it will be a false prophet. Satan will recruit him from our bishops. Jesse, do you realize he said that in 1948? And I'm thinking to myself, when I read that in the book, I went, it made me shake. I thought, how prophetic is Fulton Sheen?
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. Wow.
Terry, it seems like he's talking about what's happening right now. Right now.
Yep. I would agree with you, Jesse.
Yeah.
Brother Jesse,
Terry,
go ahead.
Tell me how far you go back with Steve Mosher.
Well,
bring
Steve,
him on right
Steve,
now.
Yeah, I want to bring him on. Steve, I bet he remembers maybe the HLI conferences.
Sure, bring him on
right
now.
Steve Mosher, are you there? Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I understand my engineer says you're on. Are you there, my brother?
I am. I've been listening with great interest and some trepidation to all of the things that the prophetic Archbishop Fulton Sheen said so many years ago.
Yeah.
Well, boy, was he right.
He was, Stephen. And I went to his funeral 40 years ago, over 40, and that's where I started promoting his Life is Worth Living. And all my convert friends that I know, I'd give Life is Worth Living CDs, or actually cassette tapes back in the late 70s and early 80s. But, Steve, we go way back because Father Paul Marks, a good friend of yours and a good friend of mine, he brought you to these HLI conferences speaking on the Catholic faith and on pro-life issues. And I have been following you when you were at the Claremont Institute here, not far from Covina, California. And I have just been quoting you along with Jesse for years.
Yeah.
And we think, you know, guys, we eat from the same trough. So do you recall, Steve, going to those human life conferences back in the late 80s? See if you remember that.
I do. My first conference, I think, was in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
I had received a call from a Catholic priest by the name of Father Paul Marks. He was the first Catholic priest that I had ever spoken to in my entire life.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, I'd like you to come and speak to one of my conferences. He said, I can't afford to pay you. We're poor pro-life group, but you can bring along some of your books and maybe you'll sell a couple. Well, by that time, I had realized that the left was not interested in hearing about forced abortion or forced sterilization in China,
right?
Because they were all into population control. And so I thought, all right, no one else is listening. I will go talk to this audience of Catholics led by this Catholic priest, Father Paul Marx. And I found myself, Terry, in the midst of the most wonderful, kind, loving, warm-hearted people you can imagine. Well, you know them well. You're one of them. And I thought they're working on a cause for which they will receive no reward in this life, only in the next. And I'll tell you what, after a very short time with them, I decided I wanted to be not only with them, but like them. And I decided to join the Catholic faith.
I know. I remember your conversion story. I still have it here. Stephen Mosier, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you questions along with Jesse regarding the China experience that you had. First, I want to set the stage back in the late 1979 when you were at Stanford. I want you to tell the story of what you were doing in China. And it kind of fits because you're still actually keeping an eye. You've got many good books on China that we want to promote and tell people how they can get those. And when we come back from the break, we also want to cover the coronavirus because I've got at LifeSite News many articles in my hands that you've written or you've been quoted from. And I want to encourage our listeners to really get to LifeSite News for great information on the faith. And Stephen, your website is Population Research Institute. Is that your website?
The website is pop.org. Very simple.
Oh, that's even better.
P.org.
People, I want you to go there and buy his books because anything
pop.org.
you get. Yep. Anything you get from Stephen, you're going to be a high information Catholic. Hey, the music's coming on. When we come back, I'm excited to have Stephen on our show. This is going to be high information Catholic radio on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got our good friend Stephen Mosier here, and we're going to talk about China and the coronavirus. We'll be right back.
Attention VMPR listeners. We've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's B-R-I-T-F-I-E-L-D Institute.org. Or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, we've got Steve Mosier here. And Steve, you're a convert to the Catholic faith, and tell us a little bit about how that happened. Give us a quick overview of that. I know that you've said in the past that you had a vision of hell when you were young, that that was in part what brought you to the Catholic Church. Can you share that and your time in Stanford and how you saw the truth of the Catholic faith with your relationship with Father Paul Marx?
Well, I was the first American social scientist allowed to do research in China. The year was 1979. We had just normalized diplomatic relations with that country after a 30-year break. And I went there eager to see what advances the Chinese Communist Party had made, how they had improved the lives of the Chinese people, how things were better than they were 30 years before. And I found exactly the opposite. The local people, once I got to know them, said that the one-party dictatorship that ruled them had taken advantage of them, had taken away from them their farms, and was now taking away from them their children. Mm. And, you know, to see women arrested for the crime of being pregnant, to see women forced to have abortions at sometimes the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy by cesarean section.
Terrible.
To be in the operating room while they were opening up these women like tin cans, just opening them up and removing their now dead and dying babies. Two things happened to me in that operating room.
Yes.
One is that I became pro-life. I mean, I don't think that you can see what's happening in an abortion up close and personal, either on ultrasound or if you're in the operating room itself, and not realize that it's the death of a tiny human being, the sacrifice of a tiny son of Adam or daughter of Eve, and these children have done nothing to deserve the death sentence. So I became pro-life. But the other thing that happened to me was it was as if the pit of hell had opened up before me. This was an absolute evil that I was witnessing, right?
Yes.
This was the taking of innocent human life, and it destroyed the moral relativism, the situational ethics, the idea that I had been taught at the university that everything was just shades of gray, there was no absolute right and wrong. I saw an absolute wrong. I saw an absolute evil, and I recoiled from it, and I began to seek the good. And of course, the source of all goodness is God,
Amen.
Our good God. And I was drawn to him over time. So it became clear to me, you know, that there was evil in the universe and there must be a compensating good. If there wasn't a compensating good, then the universe was mad. And I didn't want to live in a madhouse. So I found God, found the Catholic Church, and here I am today.
Praise God.
I did lose my PhD, as you know. They refused to read my dissertation. I wrote it. I published it later as my first book, but Stanford refused to read it because they said they no longer trusted me to be a professor at the university level.
Stephen, but make sure, my understanding is there was pressure from China once you exposed the one-child policy. Is that a fair statement? They pressured your school?
Absolutely. Okay. There was tremendous pressure from China.
Yeah.
Actually, Stanford University was sent a confidential document from the Chinese Communist Party, 4 pages long, which listed my crimes against the Chinese people that I had supposedly committed when I was in China. But my major crime was that I had written articles to attack the Chinese people, which I hadn't done. I had written articles to attack the Chinese Communist Party. I was defending the Chinese people.
Well said.
But of course, the Chinese Communist Party lies all the time.
Yep.
But they said that they would seriously punish Stanford University if I were not punished. They would not allow any scholars from Stanford in China to do research forever unless I were thrown out, I was.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. That's an important part because of what we're dealing with China today. Jesse?
Steve, you must have, I don't know, you must have heartburn when you see the fact that there's been a Vatican-China alliance accord. How bad is this? I mean, you know, you're somebody that knows this at a very deep level, how evil China is. You've been there. You've been on the ground, boots on the ground, so to speak. How wrongheaded was it for us as Catholics, or should I say the leaders in the Vatican, how bad was it for them to align themselves or have this Vatican-China alliance? Is this inconsequential? Is this innocuous? Am I reading too much into this? Or is this something that's going to have repercussions for a long time?
No, it was bad enough that I flew to Rome and I met with Cardinal Parolin, the Cardinal Secretary of State, and
yes.
I advised him against signing the Sino-Vatican Agreement because I said to him that it would be used against Chinese Catholics.
Yep.
Both Catholics in the underground church and Catholics in the patriotic church are suffering now under Xi Jinping, president for life, general secretary of the Communist Party, head of the military commission, people's leader. He's got a whole bunch of titles. He's got as many titles as Chairman Mao, the late Chairman Mao, used to have. And he's on the same trajectory. I'm afraid that that Xi Jinping, by the end of the day, will be another one of the great butchers of Chinese history as he puts down the rebellion of the Chinese people that is even now stirring in the hearts of China and the Chinese because of what they suffered under the coronavirus. But yeah, they have completely unleashed a pandemic on the world and on their own people because of their evil and incompetence.
Stephen, Cardinal Joseph Zen, I know you know him, and he's on the same page. I'm quoting him, that he's publicly calling the Secretary of State to resign over this agreement. He says they're giving the flock into the mouths of the wolves. Cardinal Zen told the news interviewer, published this last month, it's an incredible betrayal. And he says that this is an 86-year-old retired bishop of Hong Kong. He also questions Perlin's Catholicism. He says, I don't think he has faith. He is just as a good diplomat in a very secular and mundane meaning. Cardinal Zen is hitting hard, Stephen. And he says that that you quote also in this article from LifeSite that the Communist Party has been determined to force underground Chinese Catholics out of the catacombs so that they can be brought under strict party control. Are you still standing by that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, the two-year provisional agreement will expire in September.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be renewed. It should never have been signed in the beginning. I told Cardinal Parolin before he signed it that look, the walls were closing in on all religious believers in China.
Mm-hmm.
In February of 2018, before the agreement was signed, there were new restrictions on religious activity passed by the Chinese Communist Party.
Wow.
They moved all control of religious affairs under the direct control and supervision of the Chinese Communist Party. It used to be in the government's Bureau of Religious Affairs. Now it's under the Communist Party's United Front Department, which is determined to subvert and undermine and destroy all religious belief in China and replace it with belief in the Chinese Communist Party. There are churches now where the Bibles are being removed and they are rewriting the Bible to conform to Communist Party ideology.
Sick.
This is how bad it's getting. There are apps everyone has to have on their phone every day where they study the thought of Xi Jinping. And they're told, believers are told they shouldn't be reading the Bible because everything that's good comes from the Chinese Communist Party. And they have to study the thought of Xi Jinping 30 minutes a day or they're punished or their social credit score goes down and they begin to get in political trouble with the authorities. The walls are closing in.
Wow.
You can't do anything in China of a religious nature outside the walls of your church now. If a priest were to go out in the street and lead a procession, he'd be arrested. If he were to go and bless someone's home, he's violating the new restrictions on religious behavior. No one under the age of 18 can go in a church, and no one can go out of the church and evangelize anyone under the age of 18 or anyone in general. No summer camps, no catechism classes.
Bible studies.
No, even during the coronavirus epidemic, which is still going on in China, by the way, the churches have been told not to engage in good works, because everything good has to come from the party.
Wow. Wow.
Steve, let me ask you a question. And this goes to motive.
Yeah.
And if anybody would know,
you would know.
You would know if anybody out there on planet Earth would know the answer to this question. Why? Well, two questions. Who in the Vatican is the person that orchestrated this Vatican China alliance? Are the people in the Roman Curia right now, are they communist friendly? And why would they do this? Why would the powers of in the church in the Vatican, why would they enter into this deal, which is so detrimental to those Catholics you know, the lay Catholics, the boots on the ground Catholics that are just trying to live day by day and worship the one true God. Why would people in the Vatican enter into this accord? And are they communist friendly right now? Is that the state of the church right now, that the leaders are communist friendly? And who's behind it?
Yeah. Look, you know, we tried Ostpolitik with regard to the communist regimes in Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary. It didn't work. It was condemned later by St. Pope John Paul II. Mm-hmm. Pope Benedict has also said it was a failure. Yep. They both knew that the communist ideology, communist practice up close and personal, because they had lived under it or lived next to it, as Pope Benedict did. And then enter on the scene a leader in the Vatican who comes from a country which has never had any close experience with communism, and may think that it's only a slightly more dangerous form of socialism, which it isn't. They're both dangerous. One is a bridge to the other. And then you have Cardinal McCarrick, no longer Cardinal McCarrick, disgraced Mr. McCarrick, who back in 2013 was writing Pope Francis and saying that, "I'm going to China to help negotiate this deal. I hope to fulfill St. Francis's Xavier's ancient dream of bringing you China, of bringing you China." So McCarrick was involved in negotiating the deal. I think they played up the hope of Pope Francis that he would one day be able to visit China. He will never be allowed in the country, of course, but they may have convinced him. I think Cardinal Parolin may have been driven by that same false hope that somehow signing an agreement with China would lead to an improvement in at least the appointment of bishops. But the Vatican has gotten nothing. The Chinese Communist Party got 7 of its illegitimate bishops recognized as legitimate bishops. In return, did the Vatican get any of the 40 bishop candidates that it had lined up approved by the Chinese Communist Party? No.
Nope.
It's been a one-sided deal from the beginning. It deserves to end sooner rather than later. It's being used as a club to beat faithful Catholics into joining the Patriotic Association by arguing that the Pope has said you should. That's not what the agreement says, I understand, but that's how it's being misrepresented to the faithful in China.
Wow.
Helping greatly.
Stephen, we got to take a quick break. I want to also, we got a text from one of our listeners asking about the student rebellion in Hong Kong. How does that all fit in with the church and what's going on in China? You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stephen Mosier is our guest. We come back, we'll have some more good questions for him and helping us in our walk with Jesus. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Rumi, and I play Jesus Christ in The Last Days, The Passion and Death of Jesus the Christ. This Lent, I'd love to invite you to join me and my co-director Maria Vargo for a very special live stream broadcast of this production, beginning Palm Sunday, April 5th, and Holy Thursday, April 9th at noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll be able to watch the full program free on our Facebook page or on our website. To watch us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/ The Last Days of Jesus Passion Play, or on our website at www.thelastdayspassionplay.com. While Christians around the world are unable to go to church during Holy Week, we are grateful to be able to bring this beautiful and reverent depiction of Christ's love and sacrifice for all into your homes. I pray you join us and have a blessed Easter.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. We've got Steve Mosher. He's an internationally recognized authority on China and population issues. He's an acclaimed author and a speaker. You know, St. Paul talks about exposing the darkness. Steve Mosher has been exposing the darkness for decades now.
Yep.
Decades. I'm surprised. I don't know. Maybe Steve walks around with a bulletproof vest. I'm not sure, but if he doesn't, I would recommend that he does.
He's got a very active guardian angel. That's what I think Steve has.
I guess so.
Hey Steve. Go ahead, Jesse.
Let me get micro here.
Yeah.
A lot of the political left, even religious left and progressives, they're trying to slap down President Trump and saying, don't call it the Wuhan, Corona Wuhan virus. That's racist. That racist. Steve, you've done the research. Did this come from China, from a place called Wuhan? First question. Second question, in your opinion, you're the expert on China issues. We're going to defer to you. Do you think this was unleashed on purpose or by accident? So there's two questions. Is it proper to call this the Wuhan virus, or is that
just
racist?
The facts.
Second question, was this spread by design or by accident? Go, Steve.
Well, it's the Wuhan flu. It began in Wuhan. I mean, did Lyme disease come from Lyme, Connecticut? Yes. Did West Nile virus come from the west of the Nile? Yes.
Just the facts.
And diseases name normally from the place of origin.
Yep.
The place of origin of this particular virus was Wuhan. Now, here's what I believe happened.
Tell
us. And I'm going to go, I think, on Tucker Carlson to talk about this again. We believe now that it escaped from one of two government-run bio labs in Wuhan, China. And we know the coronavirus that causes the China virus that causes what we call the Wuhan flu, the pandemic that we're all now suffering from. We know that it comes from a family of coronaviruses from the so-called horseshoe bat, which is found in China. The horseshoe bat is found in China, but it's found 900 kilometers away from Wuhan. That's the nearest colony of the horseshoe bat. How did the horseshoe bat and its viruses get from the colonies 900 kilometers away to Wuhan? Well, they were collected as specimens and taken to China's Center for Disease Control in Wuhan and China's Institute of Virology in Wuhan, where they were collecting dangerous coronaviruses from these horseshoe bats, and they were testing them in the laboratory to see if they could infect human lung tissue.
Wow.
And they reported in the scientific journal Nature in 2015, that yes, they had identified a couple of these dangerous horseshoe bat coronaviruses that could directly infect human lung tissue. So we know they had in these labs isolated these dangerous coronaviruses. And I believe that one of those dangerous coronaviruses they isolated and kept in the lab leaked out of the lab. I believe that one of the lab workers got infected and then spread it to other people, not unknowingly, and that's how it began. Now, what I've called for and what I hope that President Trump will call for is for President Trump to call President for Life Xi Jinping and say, we need you to release all of the research records of your two bio labs in Wuhan. We specifically want to know all the coronaviruses you were doing research on that come from horseshoe bats, and we specifically want to know which ones you were doing research on that could infect human lung tissue, because we know that the Wuhan flu causes what? It causes pneumonia, in some cases, very severe cases of pneumonia. So I think we have connected all the dots. Mm-hmm. And if China were to release the data and there's no match between the viruses they have and the virus causing the flu, well, maybe it didn't leak from the lab. But I think there is a match. They've got thousands of coronaviruses in the lab there, and I think one got out accidentally and caused this epidemic. Now, that's the origin. What about the spread? The Chinese Communist Party is absolutely, without a doubt, responsible for the pandemic, because they knew in November the first cases were occurring. They knew in December that it was a serious novel coronavirus. And the only thing they did was they locked down on January 1st their military bases in the city of Wuhan and in the province of Hubei. Why? Because they were afraid that the epidemic would cause unrest, and they wanted the men with the guns to be healthy in order to deal with it. Did they tell the Chinese public? No. Did they tell the world? No. They hid it from the world for almost another month. Meanwhile, 5 million Chinese from the province of Wuhan, from the city of Wuhan, went to different parts of China and different parts of the world, spreading the Wuhan flu everywhere. Now, you can't tell me that isn't deliberate. It's either evil or incompetence, or it's a combination of both.
Well said. Stephen, I have a follow-up question on this, because I understand from another source that 20 million Chinese people are no longer using cell phones, and there's an accusation that maybe they're not alive, and that's why. I mean, is there any facts on that? What do you know about that, Stephen?
Well, I think the death toll is much, much greater than China has been admitting. In fact, now we have a new intelligence report out from our intelligence agencies, which concludes the Chinese government has deliberately underreported the country's total number of coronaviruses and deaths by a factor of 10 or more. So we have tens of thousands of deaths in China. We have a couple million people infected. Mm-hmm. The cell phones, I'm not sure. Maybe that's because of the economic slowdown. Maybe people couldn't afford to pay their cell phone bills.
Yeah.
That may be part of it. But what we do know is the crematoria in Wuhan had all of their ovens lit off for 6 weeks, running 24/7 to incinerate all of the corpses. And if you just calculate how many ovens and how many crematoria there were, you come up with a figure of 40 or 50,000 deaths. That's in Wuhan City alone.
Wow.
That's not counting the rest of China. There are deaths in all of China's provinces from the Wuhan flu. And there's still an epidemic in China. I know that China maintains that it has stopped the epidemic, that it is now a model for how to control the spread of the pandemic. Come to us. We will teach you how to control the epidemic, they say. That's all propaganda. They opened their theaters 2 weeks ago. They allowed sporting events 2 weeks ago. Guess what they did yesterday? They've now closed down their theaters again. They've closed down all public events. Why? Because they have a second wave of infections that is hitting different parts of China. They're by no means through it. In fact, they'll make it worse before they make it better, because they don't care about human life. Well, they care about economic production. They care about power. They're determined to get the economy back online, the factories humming, even if it means tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of more people dying.
Wow.
They literally don't care.
Thank you for that.
Steve, the communism has always had this contempt for life, the unborn and the longborn. And to me, it seems like if the communists can manufacture some type of a virus, and they could use it as a biological weapon, and this way, again, they can get rid of a large quantity of the population, but it looks clinical the way they're doing it. It's not with, bombs and tanks and machine guns. It looks clinical. Is it possible that the Chinese communists, who are godless, they don't believe in God, they're atheists, they don't believe in an afterlife, at least the leaders, is it possible that these communists are trying to perfect some type of a virus, the coronavirus or something even worse than this, as a biological weapon in the future to try to shave off the population a bit. Because, again, these people are the communists have contempt for human life. And so, you know, they couldn't do what they did with the Bolsheviks, you know, with tanks and guns and airplanes. Could this be a way of weaponizing this virus to try to depopulate a good portion of planet Earth? I'm just throwing that out there. Is this something that you think would fit within the thinking of communists or communism?
Well, let me give you a quote from the former head of the National Defense University of the People's Republic of China, four-star general. He said, "The new high ground is the development of bioweapons that would target specific ethnic groups."
So there's your answer.
That answers your question.
That's right.
They do have a bioweapons program. Whether this particular coronavirus was in any way genetically engineered, I don't know. If they were to release their secret research records, we would know the answer to that question. I doubt if they will release the wet records, but of course, if they don't, I think that in itself is an admission of guilt. I've had other people say to me, well, you know, the Wuhan flu disproportionately affects the elderly. China has a lot of elderly because they've killed so many unborn children over the decades. Mm-hmm. They've killed 400 million of the last two generations.
Wow.
In utero or after birth by forced abortion under the one-child policy. So they've got a rapidly aging population. They have huge numbers of elderly. Their population of 1.3 billion is actually going to start shrinking this year. Their average age is older than the average age of the American population. So people said, well, this virus disproportionately affects the elderly. Would it have been released in order to reduce the older population? And I said, I didn't think that was likely because the old men who run China wouldn't want to run the risk of falling prey to their own virus, would they?
Nope.
So I don't think it's a deliberate release. But would they be? Are they developing bioweapons? Of course they are.
Yeah.
Are they violating the 1982 convention, which forbids the development of bioweapons? Of course they are. Just like they violate every other treaty they've ever signed.
Steve, the communists have no morals. We get that. I wanted to still get this question answered about some hope for the Chinese people regarding Hong Kong. Is there hope there? And Stephen, your thought too is, how can we help the Chinese people get out of this horrible environment of communism? Obviously through our prayers, but is there hope that somehow things are going to change? That's my question for you when we come right back on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We have Stephen Mosher, an expert on China. We'll be back.
Lent and Fasting, a reflection from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. At the beginning of Lent, the liturgy sets before us three penitential practices that are very dear to the biblical and Christian tradition: prayer, almsgiving, fasting, to prepare us to better celebrate Easter and thus experience God's power. Lent recalls the 40 days of our Lord's fasting in the desert, which he undertook before entering into his public ministry. Through prayer and fasting, he prepared himself for the mission that lay before him, marked at the start by a serious battle with the tempter. The sacred scriptures and the entire Christian tradition teach that fasting is a great help to avoid sin and all that leads to it. Since all of us are weighed down by sin and its consequences, fasting is proposed to us as an instrument to restore friendship with God. Through prayer and fasting, we allow him to come and satisfy the deepest hunger that we experience in the depths of our being, the hunger and thirst for God. At the same time, fasting enables us to grow in the spirit of the Good Samaritan, who bends low and goes to the help of his suffering brother. The ultimate goal of fasting is to help each one of us to make the complete gift of self to God. I'm Matthew Arnold, and this has been a Lenten reflection from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and you are listening to The Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. Steve Mosier's here, and I had a question, Steve, and I want to bring some hope, I hope, here, because the persecution of the church and all the people in China is a horrible way to live a life under communism. We know that. The statistics show that. But is there any hope regarding Hong Kong and the rebellion that's going on? Or do you think the Chinese people, I mean, the Chinese government is fearing maybe an uprisal because of the way they handled the coronavirus? That's my question.
Yeah, the public sentiment in Hong Kong has turned dramatically against China.
Good.
And it has been turning against China for the last few years in direct proportion to the degree to which President for Life Xi Jinping becomes more retrograde, more conspiratorial, more paranoid, mm-hmm. more modeling himself under Mao Zedong, one of the great butchers of human history. The more tyrannical he becomes, the more China reverts to the high tide of the Cultural Revolution and the anti-rightist campaigns of the Mao years, the more the people of Hong Kong say, we want nothing to do with China. And the coronavirus epidemic has only made that worse. I think public sentiment now in Hong Kong is probably 80-85% in favor of a complete divorce from the mainland.
Wow.
Of course, they're connected. Geographically, they're connected. Mm-hmm. And there are 12,000 Chinese troops sitting right in the middle of Hong Kong, ready to put down any sort of armed uprising. So it is impossible for the Hong Kong people to actually win their freedom or even make the Chinese Communist Party abide by the Sino-British Agreement, which was signed back in 1987, which promised Hong Kong 50 years of economic and largely political independence from mainland China. It was supposed to continue until 2047, but the Chinese Communist Party tore it up 2 years ago. So would they like to be free? Yes. Can they be free? No, not unless communism falls in mainland China itself. But the hope comes, I think, from the United States.
Okay.
We have made it clear that if there's a military crackdown in Hong Kong, that China will pay a heavy price. We have made it clear that if there's an attack on Taiwan, which is a free market democracy with 24 million people, with free elections, and a president who wants nothing to do with mainland China and who has stopped the epidemic in Taiwan in its tracks. Taiwan is a great success story, by the way.
Mm.
Almost no deaths,
wow.
Just a few dozen infections. Why? Because they know that nothing good ever comes from the People's Republic of China.
Amen.
And so as soon as the first reports came out of Wuhan, they began to check incoming passengers. As soon as there was a lockdown of the city of Wuhan, they stopped all flights into Taiwan.
Smart.
They did it the right way.
Yep.
They had supplies pre-deployed, masks ready to hand out, hand sanitizers, thermometers, and they went into full resistance mode. So we have to protect Taiwan, which is a beacon of freedom for the Chinese people. We have to do what we can for Hong Kong. And we have to hope that under the pressure mm-hmm. of the coronavirus mm-hmm. Epidemic in China, which is due to the complete mismanagement and evil of the Chinese Communist Party leadership, the Chinese people will rise up in their righteous anger mm. and overthrow this tyrannical regime.
Praise God. I hope so.
Steve, how can people get, I got another question, but how can people get a hold of you? And when are you going to be on Tucker? And
Fox News?
Books have you written? I want to promote yourself before
Absolutely.
I ask you another important question. What books have you written? When are you going to be on Tucker Carlson? And your website, once again.
My latest book is called Bully of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
You can guess who the bully of Asia is.
You think?
I think everybody now knows the bully of Asia is.
China.
Because the pandemic has concentrated everyone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
The Bully of Asia, subtitled Why China's Dream of World Domination is a threat to the United States and the world. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on pop.org, our website, pop.org. I'm a pop. I have 9 children, but this pop is Population Research Institute's pop, pop.org. I'll be happy to send you an autographed copy. And it looks like I'll be on Tucker tonight.
Good.
He's on at 8 o'clock Eastern time and a little earlier your time. And I'll be on Jesse Waters' show this weekend on Fox.
Excellent.
Well, I watch both of them, so I'll
see. Oh, yeah, we won't miss them.
Yeah, hey, got a question for you. This is very important. Is the political left, are they using the whole coronavirus fiasco that we're experiencing right now, are they using this in an attempt to destroy President Trump? And are they weaponizing this coronavirus to try to defeat him in 2020?
Oh, absolutely.
You bet.
Absolutely. And that's why they've taken China's side in all this. Why is the mainstream media simply repeating China's claims that they've controlled the epidemic, that they only have 3,000 deaths and 80,000 infections, that the situation is so much worse in the United States because we supposedly have more deaths and more infections? Why are they taking Chinese propaganda and spewing it out? Because they're doing it because they hope that it makes President Trump look bad by comparison. They're betraying the United States in doing so because their hatred of the pro-life president that we have is so great that they basically, I don't know, we call it Trump derangement syndrome, don't we?
Yes, we do. And you nailed it when you said who the next president will be for the next 4 years will pick the Supreme Court justices in the future. And that's really what they're upset with, the pro-life president, in my humble opinion.
And what they're also upset with is that they want Joe Biden in because Joe Biden is very friendly with the Chinese.
Absolutely.
Isn't that true?
Made a lot of money.
Isn't that true, Stephen?
Well, it is. When he went to China in 2011 on Air Force Two, he took his son, Hunter.
That's right.
And Hunter walked away with $1.5 billion from the Bank of China for his little investment company.
Yep.
Now, if I took my son to China, we'd probably both wind up in jail.
Exactly.
But Hunter Biden, the son of the vice president, got $1.5 billion in soft money from China. So they think, yeah, their candidate, their Manchurian candidate is Joe Biden, because they know they've got him right where they want him.
Wow.
They know they've got the goods on him. And, you know, you never want to take that first bribe because then you might as well take the rest because you're corrupt and you know, you compromise yourself.
Well said.
He's taken Chinese money. So
follow the money.
Do whatever
he's
they
compromised.
Yeah, follow the money. Yeah. Stephen, I just want to remind people to follow us on Facebook and on YouTube because this is going to get out to many people if our listeners, you know, put links to their social media because this is important to get out. Stephen, go ahead, Jesse. You have one big, you had a follow-up question with that. Go ahead.
I just want to ask Stephen about he kind of answered it.
Yeah.
Is a lot of the lamestream media, a lot of the fake news media, are they misleading us with some of the reporting, and are they trying to, like, overblow some of the projections?
Of course.
You kind of answered it.
Yeah,
already.
He already answered. Of course they are, yes.
Oh. Yeah, of course they are. It's hatred of Trump. It's you know, we're stepping on their narrative, which is Orange Man bad. You know, he's fumbled this from the beginning. Yeah, the truth of the matter is that America was the second country in the world to close off air traffic from China. The first country was Taiwan. We already talked about that.
Yep.
China pulled the switch first, pushed the button second. He saved us from many more deaths and hundreds of thousands of more infections by doing that. It was the right decision at the right time. And I'll tell you what, he's mobilizing the government and cutting red tape and putting in place public-private partnerships that are going to enable us to bring this thing to a finish, I think, faster than anyone thought possible.
Stephen, I want to remind everybody, Facebook censored the links of the coronavirus to Chinese research labs. Tell us a little bit about that. That's just embarrassing, in my opinion. But go ahead. What happened there?
Well, I mean, look, I made the argument, and this is not my argument alone. Right. Senator Tom Cotton, my friend, has made that argument. In fact, a couple of Chinese scientists traced exactly what happened in the paper they published, possible origins of the 2019 coronavirus. They put it up and it was taken down the next day. It was censored.
There you
but
go.
What they say is that the coronavirus came from horseshoe bats, that the horseshoe bats and their viruses were being studied at the biolabs in Wuhan, that the virus escaped from the lab because one of the lab workers got infected. Chinese propaganda says, oh, no, it didn't escape from the lab. It came from the Wuhan wet market where they were killing wild animals, butchering them on the street, which they actually do, and then selling the freshly killed animals to people to take home and cook and eat. And that's what the government says. The government says that the eating habits of the Chinese people are responsible for the outbreak of the epidemic. Well, these two Chinese researchers actually went and interviewed 59 people who worked at the Wuhan wet market.
Wow.
And each and every one of those people interviewed said there are no horseshoe bats being sold here. So that myth has been put to rest, and yet you still see it on CBS and ABC and NBC. You just can't believe it. These people keep going. They don't do their work. I don't know whether they're lazy because they're used to being just one click away from getting a quote or a fact and then putting it into the story without bothering to check it, or they're just so filled with loathing for the current administration that anything they can say or do to put them in a bad light, they'll say or do. It's just incredible.
It is. Repeat the lie often enough, people will believe it. Go ahead, Jess.
I'm done. Steve, this was
unbelievable.
I feel like I got three college units right now.
Yeah, no, Steve.
I'm telling you, I just feel like this is high information Catholicism. Thanks, Steve. We're going to have you on again.
Again and again. Steve, I just want to pray for you and your family because you're up in the front lines. And I really believe the unemployment rate for guardian angels is way too high and that we need to enlist them. And so I'm asking our guardian angels to help you with your guardian angel and your family to protect you in the work that you're doing because it's, as Father Marx would say, the most important work of what we're doing is protecting life, especially in the womb. And you've done that all your life. I've seen you over the years doing this. So I just want to pray that the Lord will continue to bless your ministry. And one more time with your website so people can contact you and get your books. Could you please give that, please?
Yeah, the website is www.pop.org.
Great.
P-O-P.org. And we have to hope that that President Trump calls for China to release the secret records.
Amen to that. Stephen Mosier, thank you again. Thank you so much for coming to the Terry and Jesse Show. May God richly bless you. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And everybody listening to this program at 12 noon, here in the Pacific Coast time, 3 o'clock East Coast, say the Angelus for Steve Mosier and his work.
Yep.
Let's offer our Angelus for him, for the Population Research Institute, because they're doing important work, Terry.
Absolutely. I want to thank Stephen and all of his staff for getting us to connect with him. May God richly bless him. And I want to thank our listeners who support us. You're not going to get this going left or right. You're going to get it right here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This was a high information show, and I want to thank all of you who support us to be able to do this important work for our Lord. May God richly bless you, and we'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same station here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Full sheen ahead here at our station. May God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.